As an award-winning psychology instructor at Stanford University, as well as a health educator for the School of Medicine's Health Improvement Program, Dr. Kelly McGonigal's job is to help people manage stress and make positive changes in their lives. After years of watching people try to control their bodies and emotions and choices, she realized that much of what they believed about willpower was sabotaging their success and creating unnecessary stress. Committed to sharing what the scientific community already knew about self-control, McGonigal created a course called The Science of Willpower for Stanford University's Continuing Studies program. The course was an instant hit and spawned the hugely successful Psychology Today blog with the same name. Her new book is The Willpower Instinct. It combines the newest insights from psychology, economics, neuroscience, and medicine to explain what exactly willpower is, how it works, and why it matters. It's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Kelly McGonigal to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when I read that list of psychology and neuroscience and medicine and economics, I guess the one thing that doesn't seem like it belongs is economics.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, economics can teach us a lot about the choices that we make when it comes to self-control, because economics really is the science of how do we decide what we want and what we're going to do. And, you know, one of the lessons from economics that really has helped me think about self-control is to think about why it is we don't value future rewards as much as we value immediate rewards. So if I think about, like, how good is it going to feel to save money and have money in the future, oftentimes it doesn't feel as good as if I imagine spending that money right now. And so we end up discounting our future happiness and sort of buying with our energy, our attention, and our current resources. We buy things that we end up later regretting, even if it's something like buying or choosing to eat that third piece of cake, and then we end up paying for the consequences later on.
It seems as though willpower is often affected by choice, and reality sometimes doesn't play as much a role in it as it should. But so what is it about economic reality that eclipses other large realities?
Well, basically, you know, so many of our choices are made by things that we aren't aware of. And I think that when you talk about behavioral economics and trying to understand why we make kind of really irrational choices, it can help to recognize what some of these competing motives and instincts are, that we're not just rational creatures being guided by a logical understanding of what's in our best interest. We're constantly being bombarded by these inner impulses like stress or anxiety and cravings, or even self-doubt, that make us really shift towards these decisions that are not in our long-term best interest. And a big part of gaining more willpower is actually getting to know this part of yourself. Like, what does it feel like when you're anxious and you're putting off something you really need to do? What do you say to yourself that gives you permission to indulge in something that is not in your long-term best interest? And so, you know, part of making what I guess you could call wiser decisions in the long term is starting to get to know these irrational impulses and really see how they play out.
Talk a little bit about the distinctions of willpower and self-control. I mean, are they basically the same thing?
You know, I often think of self-control as being an aspect of willpower. One of the least appreciated components of willpower is what I call want power, and that has nothing to do with controlling yourself or holding yourself back. I mean, that's just the ability to remember what you really want, because so much of life is about being bombarded by distractions and temptations that will pull you away from your highest goals and your values. And so part of willpower is every day remembering this is what my biggest goal is. This is what I want to invest my time and energy toward, so that when you meet other impulses, other distractions and temptations, then you will have more self-control to restrain yourself from giving in. But yeah, willpower is much more than just kind of saying no in the moment of temptation. It's really about remembering what you want.
You mentioned a moment ago self-doubt. Oh, self-doubt.
Yeah.
It plagues so many of us. What is it about self-doubt that plays into this equation of willpower?
Well, self-doubt is basically another form of stress. And one of the things that I've been most fascinated to learn about willpower is in the brain and in the body, it's basically the opposite of stress. And so anything that pushes us towards anxiety, self-criticism, overwhelm, fatigue, all of these things that really are a stress on our system and on our minds, it pulls us away from the mental state that we need to be in to remember our long-term goals and to find the energy and motivation to take positive action. And so anything that we do to help in the moment really manage that stress, whether it's the stress of self-doubt or the stress of just having a crazy day at work or at home, anything you do to help manage that stress will naturally shift the brain back into a state where it's easier to have willpower.
To parse the title a bit, in the willpower instinct, talk about the instinct part in the sense of how that becomes an instinct, how much of that is conscious, how much of that is subconscious or unconscious.
Willpower is already an instinct, and everybody already has it, even though most people feel like they don't have enough willpower. You know, willpower is something that other people have. But it turns out that willpower is like a real biological response that is part of our human nature, that is designed to help us deal with these inner conflicts or these inner threats, that your brain is built, it's designed to be able to help you override temptations and cravings, to regulate your emotions, whether it's anger or anxiety, that really your brain is built to do this. And when the mind recognizes an inner threat, it can shift the brain and the body into a state where it slows you down, it reminds you what your goals are, and it gives you some extra courage or some extra motivation. And it really is a competing instinct with things like stress. And that's why it can be difficult to find sometimes, because if we are really strongly entrenched in a stress response instinct, the brain and the body are not going to be in that state to respond with the willpower instinct. So like I said, one of the biggest ways to get more self-control or to feel like your best self is actually to start looking for ways to take care of yourself so you're less likely to be running around all the time in the stress instinct.
One of the things I find fascinating is how culture permeates all of this. I mean, we are hardwired, basically, most of us, certainly not all of us, but most of us are hardwired to, in a basic sense, know right from wrong. So you know that, you know, if somebody's annoying you, you don't kill them. You know that if you're in the supermarket and you want something that you can't afford or doesn't make sense, you don't just put it in your pocket and leave. You're hardwired to know those things. And you don't want to break the law. There's places that you can park. There's places that you can park. But then there are these whole other issues of whether it be smoking or whether it be alcohol or food or whatever the case may be, where it's all right. It's not as much of a we don't have that same instinct of saying, okay, well, this is right and this is wrong, even though at the fundamental level we do know that for us it's wrong.
You know, this is actually a mistake that a lot of people make. They try to turn their willpower challenges, like food or like smoking, into some kind of test of their moral virtue.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work as you just described, it doesn't work because, frankly, these aren't innate moral things like not killing and not stealing. We actually don't have incredible motivation to not eat the wrong thing. It doesn't carry that same kind of sort of visceral moral component to it as other behaviors do. And so if you try to change your behavior by saying, oh, I'm a bad person if I eat junk food, I'm a good person if I exercise today, it actually doesn't carry a whole lot of motivational power. So I actually encourage people to think in terms of goals, true goals and values, the things that you care about and the things that you want. And that turns out to be a much better way to pursue things like improving your health or quitting a habit. And the more we think in terms of morals for things that are really better described as goals, the more likely we are to feel ashamed when we fail. That shame becomes another roadblock to making the actual change. Or we just go back and forth being like, you know what, I was bad today. I gave in to temptation. And because it's not really a moral test, it doesn't make us feel quite bad enough to actually change it.
I guess I was thinking of it in the sense of while I was reading your book about what law and legislation have on us about our thoughts, in the sense of, okay, so you live in Colorado and smoking pot was illegal, and now in some cases under certain circumstances you can do it. Okay, so does that change your feelings one way or the other? Does that have a fundamental base in your brain to say, okay, there was a part of me that says this was bad, I'm not going to do it, and now that it is quote-unquote legal, I will, or I could.
For some people, that's definitely the case. I mean, for some people, there would have been that kind of barrier of not wanting to be a lawbreaker, and so they could have been controlling their behaviors. But I think that with, you know, a lot of the things that we struggle with, it actually is kind of our own, like our own inner rules that we need to make peace with, and make some commitments that aren't so much about what society says is the right thing to do. And if we're sort of relying on these external controls to change our behavior, you know, as is probably the case, people who really want to do it will do it anyway, whether it's legal or not. So we often need to find a kind of intrinsic motivation that is about what we care about and what we want. Because, you know, outer controls, they don't always work so well.
So we can say that we care and we want to do a certain thing and change the way we are. But to actually come up with those inner rules, how do you do that? Because you can have a very a conversation filled with clarity with yourself that says, I know that this is not good for me. I know that I shouldn't do this. And yet you will do it.
Yeah. So one thing I encourage people to do is to think about willpower like a muscle and create for yourself like the smallest willpower workout that is consistent with your long-term goal. If there's a huge project that you want to get done, it's okay to say, I'm going to work on it for 1 minute, for 5 minutes. If you're trying to quit something that you're addicted to, it's okay to say, I can't quit it today, but what I'm going to do is delay it for 5 minutes. And just start practicing flexing that muscle of awareness and self-control. And it turns out that when you take these small steps that are really commitments in the direction of a bigger goal or change, it becomes easier over time to make the bigger change. And too often, we wait to get started until we feel like we can do it all and we can do it easily. And so, you know, I say you don't have to figure it all out today. You just have to shift from doing absolutely nothing to doing anything, however small, that's in the direction of the big goal.
And you do talk about in the book about giving up control as often the only way to gain self-control, which is interesting.
Yeah, and really what I'm talking about there is giving up the hope of controlling what's going on inside of yourself. You know, so often we think that we'll be able to quit smoking when we no longer want to smoke, or I'll start exercising when I wake up and I feel like it. And if you spend all your time trying to control your thoughts and your emotions and your cravings, you're going to discover it's really hard to control what's going on inside your brain and body. It's actually easier to control what you do and what you say. And so I encourage people to stop thinking that they're going to be able to fix all of their feelings first, and then the behavior can change. It really works the other way around. Often the only way to get rid of anxiety, or the only way to teach yourself not to crave something so much, is to make the change first when it is difficult, and it gets easier by doing it, not by waiting for it to become easy.
The name of the book is The Willpower Instinct. It's published by Avery. Dr. Kelly McGonigal, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.